Tuesday, March 15th was one of those days peculiarly White House, well balanced between work and play, my sort of day. I was up early for a hairdo. Mr. Pear, my old friend, been working under the dryer with Simone about our film projects and Liz about our trips. And then at 11, Molly Parnas and a fitter came to try on the clothes I've already bought and two beautiful evening dresses, emerald green and new as tomorrow, and another very understated white with a very elegant beaded jacket. Lyndon came in and I stuck my foot in my mouth, clear up to the knee. Lyndon, you know Miss Simpson. Neither Molly Parnas nor I batted an eyelash. I quickly said, Miss Molly Parnas, while my nerves knotted up inside me. Seldom have I bought two such lovely evening dresses so painlessly. The morning was full of business, speedily accomplished. A hamburger with Liz for lunch, and more things disposed of. And then Ashton. And then at 3:30 I left for the circus, the big event of the day. And very important to me, because to some extent, my presence for 2 hours makes it possible for 6,000 children, about 2,000 of them Head Start youngsters, the others from Junior Village and the Crippled Children's Society and the United Givers Fund agencies, to see the circus free. Ringling Brothers and the Fells of Super Shows did this wonderfully generous thing last year with me as sponsor, and again this year. And I'm as grateful as any one of the 6,000 children. When Zola McClendon began her story, Mrs. Lyndon Baines Johnson, who's been running a three-ring circus at her house for years, went down to the Coliseum yesterday to see how Ringling Brothers and so forth run theirs. It was a sheer delight. There was a little colored boy in a sailor suit who had a five-word speech, "Thank you for Head Start," and a big bunch of yellow roses for me. And then a little five-year-old Lisa Crittenbrink gave me a finger painting about the circus. And together we tried to unroll the Head Start banner to hold up for the view of the newsmen. All the children had cotton candy and cartons of milk. Donnie, next to me, in fact, had three cotton candies, including mine. We laughed with the clowns, caught our breath from the trapeze artist, fell for one split second, and then hung by her heels, adored the little dogs and ponies, and a starry-eyed, the great procession of the king and queen on elephants preceded by camels and llamas and courtiers in great Camelot costumes. Close to me, there was a young college girl, a senior, who was doing volunteer work in Head Start right along with her college career, who was the very picture of one side of our young folks of today. Wholesome, busy, full of hope for the world. Just about the greatest act of all was a tiger who kept on licking his trainer's head affectionately, his great big mouth and his great big teeth, and his huge caressing paws. Fascinating sight. I wore my brightest dress, emerald green wool with a full skirt, enjoyed it tremendously. It was just as much a part of the show as my personality would let me be. There were pictures with all the kind donors, the Fells, the Ringlings, people who helped with transportation. The busiest of all were the many chaperones, and I'm sure the hardest place to get into after the show was about an hour long was the bathroom, toward which these chaperones led an endless stream of 5- and 6-year-olds. There was one exciting moment when a great big rubber ball bounced within about 2 feet of me. Horace had been kicking them out into the audience, a part of the act. But this particular part of it rather unnerved the Secret Service, or so the newspapers love to think. We were home by 6:30. I had asked friends in for cocktails, Mary and George Hazelton. I was delighted to meet Mary's new husband, a longtime member of the State Department and Foreign Service. He seemed cultured, quiet, charming, just what one would hope would happen to Mary. And then the DeWitt Greers, he's up here on some highway business for the state of Texas, and Liz and Will Edward Odom came in with Liz's sparkling excitement, and Mary Love Bailey, who's our house guest, joined us. We had cocktails in the Yellow Oval Room, all old friends, and so much to talk about. It turned out, as often happens, that Liz, who is one of my oldest and best friends, does not have an autographed picture of me. So quickly I went to get her one, and then another for each of the other couples present. Mary, too, did not have one. In this business, you're likely to send them to Joe Blow of Peanut Crossing, who writes in, but not to your favorite cousin, who doesn't. It was a lengthy, an enormously pleasant cocktail hour. Lucy came in, looking 14 and schoolgirlish. Mary Love Bailey is up on some sort of business for the cancer organization and Will Edward, in an attempt to convince two members of the Texas delegation that there ought to be matching federal funds for state parks under certain conditions, DeWitt Greer promised to keep close scientific watch on the optimum blooming time of the blue bonnets. It was approaching 9 when everybody said goodnight. And then Lucy and Mary Love departed to get Linden. They were successful, came home and had dinner with us, looking very weary and greeting us with words that went approximately like this. They're rotting in Watts. The Venezuelan cabinet has resigned. The Indian situation is worsening. It may be even necessary to postpone the visit. In Vietnam, they've shot a briber, and the liberals are trying to make the government fall. And Germany may or may not fly. It makes being a rancher sound mighty appetizing. He left us early for bed, a little before 11, and I talked with Mary Love, whose project, it seems, concerns something I do not understand at all. Silver dollars still in the treasury of a very ancient vintage, some back to the days of the discovery of the Carson and Silver City mine, that will be worth $30 to $100 each by coin collectors. Probably. The Heart Cancer and Stroke Association hopes that they may buy them just at the dollar value and then auction them off. That is a treasury decision that I don't want to get within a mile of. But it seems that Mary Love has been on the Hill talking about it, and that Congressman Wright Patman is going to introduce a bill to make these silver dollars available to the Cancer, Heart, and Stroke Association. The proceeds, of course, to go for medical research. And so the Ides of March passed, a good, full, happy day, except that little flames of fear began to lick at me about what's going on within Vietnam. Can the crackdown on bribery and dishonesty be accomplished? The demonstrations of the Buddhists. Somehow demonstrations in my own country don't frighten me. If this government falls in Vietnam, we've had it. At least from where I sit, I cannot see what happens next.